Hello, welcome to the show, part of Pandrol's and original content series. And another thing is a podcast where our people and experts in rail infrastructure connect to discuss some of the industry's biggest issues, trends and developments. Join us every month for a new episode featuring insightful, illuminating chat and debate, news and views about the topics that matter to you and how the rail world moves. My name's Jamie and I'm here with Pandrol's Head of Transit, Thomas Laurent, to tackle the issue of noise and vibration from city centre railways, a critical topic when integration and innovation are key to making our urban spaces fit for modern lifestyles and transport requirements. Globally, our towns and cities are increasingly becoming places where people want to live, as well as work, with a rising number of homes and businesses next to rail routes. This first episode tackles the big issue for many rail operators of how to ensure noise and vibration from the railway does not impact the people, businesses and valuable architecture, which is so close to the railway. So, Thomas, what is the general picture of population demand in our urban centres in terms of living and working?
Thank you, Jamie. Hi, everyone. The demands are linked to the fact that cities are crowded. Jamie, do you have an idea how many people are living in cities?
A lot of people, billions, 3 billion.
Almost there, 4 billion. And it's expected to climb up to 6.5 in the next 30 years. So crowded cities, a lot of people living in the sharp areas. And those people need to move. They need to move to go work, to go live, to go for hobby, theater, whatever. So this is where rail transport can help. It can help to make it happen. It can help to make it on a sustainable way.
How can rail transport help?
There is a huge demand in transport in the city. The rail, by its efficiency and also advantages, is going to help in that. The first advantage of the rail is its capacity. In a typical mass rail system, you can get up to 50% times more people than on the same lane with the cars. So first, you are going to solve the traffic jam in the city. The second one, you are going to solve a lot of pollution with the rail system. The first pollution is, of course, the CO2. You are not going to emit any CO2 in the city with a tramway or with metro. The second one is the air pollution. The cars are emitting a lot of polluting material that, like the NOx and so on, which is linked to the fuel they are using. But not only, also the braking system of the cars is generating a lot of dust, fine particles that are polluting the air. And third, noise. Cars are generating a lot of noise in the city. Rail system can solve, in a nutshell, the three issues.
I actually read an article last week about transport emissions, and it said that 60.7% of the emissions come from cars and only 0.5% from railways.
Correct, indeed. And you should imagine that a tramway or a metro is consuming up to 10 times less CO2 by kilometer by passenger than a car. So really, the train and the metro and the tramways are able to solve the CO2 question in the cities for the transport.
So having a good and reliable transport system within a city will obviously be better for the environment. There will be less noise. There will be less pollution.
Yes, and I forgot a very important one is the safety. The number of accidents between people, casualties on the car is something like 5 to 10 times more than what you get on the tramway, not speaking about the metro that are even more safe. So not only solving the problem of pollution and of urban mobility, it's also saving some lives.
Last week, the UK government announced a commitment to reduce our emissions by 68% by 2030, which would be faster than any other major economy. It's a very ambitious target. Surely the railways can help them achieve this target.
Yes, of course. As I said, railways are the most by far efficient system to transport people and goods. And do you know why this system is so efficient?
No, I don't. Why?
It's about the friction. So when you have a wheel made of rubber on a truck, on a car, on the road, you have a lot of friction. And friction generates a lot of energy consumption. Where on the rail system, like the metro, the tramways and the railways, you have a steel wheel touching a rail made of steel. This is coming from the mine industry. They have invented this concept. And thanks to that, you can transport a lot of mass with a very little amount of energy. The second advantage of this very low friction system is also you get a very reliable system. You cannot have a flat tire on a tram, on a metro. So you have a system that moves a lot of people with a very little amount of energy, and that is very reliable.
I've been in many cities. Why do we need to have our railways so close to where people live and work?
This is a consequence of the above, the cities being extremely crowded, and also the service that we want to provide to the people being you don't have to walk kilometers to get your tram or your metro or your train. Because you want to offer a good human mobility to your citizen, you need to put the track nearby to the citizen where they walk, where they live, and when they have hobby, to compete with a car and to allow them to take directly the running stock and to benefit from the urban transport. This proximity is causing some annoyance. Like when you live next to the road, you get annoyance, the noise from the road. When you live next to the track, you may have some annoyance from the track. Our job is to reduce this annoyance. The main annoyance we can think of is the vibration and the noise generated by the rail.
So what would you say is the general impact of noise and vibration on the population of cities?
The issue is that you want to offer the perfect mobility to your citizen. Therefore, you need to be closed, as we said, but also you need to have this system running 24 hours a day and 7 days a week. And therefore, you are generating a continuous annoyance nearby. So our target is to reduce and to tackle this noise and vibration issue of the track system.
Starting with the basics, what causes noise in rail?
The best advantage of the rail system is the rail, is this low friction contact between the wheel and the rail. This main advantage is also its main disadvantage, because when you have a wheel touching the rail, you are generating a stiff contact between two metal pieces. And therefore, some vibration, some forces, some dynamic forces are going from the rolling stock to the track. This vibration goes to the ground, hits the building which is next to the ground. The walls of the building are starting to vibrate. A vibrating wall is like a giant loudspeaker. When you vibrate a wall, the air next to the wall is going to vibrate, and a vibrating air is called noise. So you hear the rolling stock, you hear the tram and the metro. You don't hear them directly, you hear the vibration, the building you are living in.
And what are different types of noise? What causes each type?
There are four types of noise that you can get from a track. The first one is simply when you are along the track and then the rolling stock is coming into the station, you are going to hear all the machinery that you have inside the metro, as example, the fans, you have the brakes, you have many stuff doing noise. But in general, this is the less disturbing one. The second one that you can hear is the aerodynamic noise. It's when the tram or the metro are going at a certain speed, you have a movement of the air inside, outside, and it's generating some aerodynamic noise. But in general, the speed of the rolling stock in the city is limited. Therefore, this noise is not the most important. The two most important that you get in the city are the following. Is the direct contact noise and is the structure-borne noise. The direct contact noise is what you hear when the rolling stock is going into the curves. It's what you hear when there is a flat wheel on the metro and that is making this repetitive noise. And the second category of noise that is disturbing in the city is the structure-borne noise, is what I've described, the vibration coming into the ground, hitting your building and making some noise inside. So the design of the track needs to tackle with both the direct contact noise and the structure-borne noise.
Is it in larger part due to track and rolling stock? Is it about switches and crossings, or is it more impacted by operators themselves, or all of them?
All of them and many more. All the singular points, all the small deviation from the perfect wheel on the perfect rail is going to create some vibration, some dynamic forces, some vibration, and therefore some noise. The curve is the first one. When the wheel are getting into the curve, the backside of the wheel is touching the rail and it's making some squealing noise, some vibration, specific recognizable noise. Also, when you have a switches and crossing, of course, you have curves inside, but also you have gaps and you have part where the wheel is jumping onto the rail. And this is creating impact. Of course, the switches and crossings makers are trying to make that as smooth as possible, but still something remains. So the gaps. Also, there is something called corrugation. Corrugation is a phenomenon that appears on the rail heads when you brake and you accelerate on certain stretch of the track. It's kind of a wave that is building up on the head of the rail. And of course, when you have a wheel that is running on over a wave, it's creating dynamic forces, impacts, shock, and vibration. Also, and this is often forgotten, is the local defect. When you have a defect on the head of your rail, because it was some local defect in the rail caused by the quality of the steel or caused by an impact by something, or when you have a flat wheel on the rolling stock, flat wheels are coming when there are leaves on the track is slippy, the rolling stock breaks, the wheel blocks, and then it's creating a small flat on the wheel. And this small flat, every time it's touching the rail, it's creating shock. Shock equals vibration, vibration equals noise. So all of those kind of small problems that you can find on the track that are building up with time are creating a lot of noise and of vibration.
So it could be something as simple as the driver braking too hard.
Indeed, this is a typical case. Last minute or emergency braking, a flat in the wheel, because you prefer to make a flat in the wheel than to hit something, and then you need to do maintenance of your wheel.
Mm. So by that braking would in turn cause noise and vibration?
The braking also causes noise and vibration, but you should know that what is annoying is not a one-time noise. You need to picture when you are at home and then you have one time a car braking and making one time a noise, okay, you will notice it and then that's it. What is disturbing for human being is something continuous all the time. When you are next to an highway, it's the continue foof, foof of the car that is going to be nervously difficult for you. So in the noise and vibration world, there is some standard when you take the average of the noise and the vibration over a period of time, and the level you have are different, of course, when you are by night and during the day. And of course, it will be different when you are looking for a residential area or from an office area or from an hospital area. So those levels will vary. But what you should retain is one-shot noise is not a problem. It's when it's repetitive over time.
Yeah. So we've identified the problem. We've explored the science. Now we need to know what we can do to control and mitigate it. How can we limit the noise and vibration?
So it's a process that needs to be holistic. As I said before, the noise is generated by many small issues that can happen on the track. But then once this happens, we have many tools in a toolbox to reduce that. So the first one is you need to make sure that your track is well designed from a noise and vibration perspective, which means from a dynamic forces perspective. It means that your track needs to be fitted with resilience all around, avoid shock with the proper design of the switches and crossing. So first, you need to have a track which is well designed. When your track is well designed, you need to make sure that it remains in good condition during the whole lifetime of the track. So a good monitoring and a good maintenance of your track is key, because if not, day one, you have a perfect track, the neighbors are happy, and after 5 years with a damaged track, it's a mess. You have a lot of noise and vibration and everybody will claim. So monitoring and maintenance of your track is key for the noise and vibration. Of course, having a good track from day one and having a good maintenance in some sensitive area, you need to do something more. And the something more is really the noise and vibration mitigation systems. It's really systems that you install just for the purpose of not generating noise and vibration. If I can take a small analogy, it's like when you have a radio. When you have a radio, you put the volume. This is when you create your new track at the beginning. Then, with time, the volume button may change. You need to make sure that it always remains at the same level. This is the maintenance. And then, sometimes the radio is too loud, even in this condition. Then you want to do something, and then you put something on top of the radio to stop the noise. This is exactly what we do with the noise and vibration mitigation systems.
How can we control the quality of the track?
The quality of the track and the quality of the rolling stock, because both are linked, both are important, can be managed and monitored several ways. It exists some systems where you can listen, put some sensors on the track to listen the rolling stock. If I have a flat wheel, I'm going to generate shock on my track that can be detected by a sensor that you install on the track. It's called Wheel Checks, and it has been installed as example in Metro North in New York. Once a rolling stock, somebody broke too hard, create a flat wheel, comes over the sensor will be able to say, oh, be careful, this rolling stock is damaged, send it to the workshop. If not, you are going to have problems, and noise and vibration is one of those. You can also control the quality of the track. So it exists many equipments to control the quality of the track. And once you have discovered what is wrong, as example, a problem on the rail heads, it exists some welding kits where you can just repair the head of the rail to make it smooth again and remove a cause of noise and vibration and also a cause of rail break, because both are linked in this case.
Is there any way we can keep vibration isolated from the surrounding buildings?
Yes, so this is what I explained before, the mitigating noise and vibration. First step, as I said, is you try to limit the vibration. You limit the volume on your radio. This is what we have done with the proper design of the track. Now what you want to do is to cut the vibration. And to cut the vibration in the noise and vibration world is to keep the vibration inside the track. How do we do that? With the equivalent of a swing. We are going to make sure that the track and the rolling stock are vibrating on a spring to keep the vibration inside the track. Exactly like when you are on a swing, you are moving your legs, but your movement remains in the swing. You are not moving from your tree, you're just on your swing. Noise and vibration mitigation systems are based on what is called the mass spring system. The track is a mass with the rolling stock on top of it, creates vibration. And this vibration makes vibrate this mass, and this mass is moving on the spring, on the mats that you are going to put below. This way, we prevent the vibration to go to the ground and hit the building and create some noise and vibration. The vibration is damped inside this mass spring system. The damping means destroyed, eliminated.
What are the key products that Panjol provides customers to help with this issue?
So during the tree phase of the lifetime, we can help, and we are happy to give advice to the designers who need our support and the operators. So in the design of the track, we have several systems that helps to smooth the impact forces in the track. So to put resilience just below the rail in the fastening system, below the sleepers with some of the sleeper pads, or below the slab with different kind of mats. Also, when we are into the monitoring, we have this wheel check systems that helps to detect flat wheel. And of course, once there is some damage on the track, we have all kind of grinding equipments or shearing or welding kits to repair the track. And once you go into the really the fine tuning and to have an increase of the vibration insulation of the track to create these mass spring systems, we have all the mat systems that I've already described, but also what we call the very resilient fastening systems that are systems that generate a mass spring system with a rolling stock having a very ultra soft fastening system. This is, as example, a very good system when you have installed your track goes wrong, and then you can make a retrofit on the track with these kind of systems to afterwards solve the problem of noise and vibration. So we can also help after when there is a problem.
So I understand that we've had to put the theory into practice in Florence in Italy. When I think about all the historic buildings in a city like Florence, obviously vibrations from trams is going to be a really serious concern. What were the key challenges of delivering track infrastructure for such an historic city with so many protected and fragile buildings?
Indeed, Firenze has been a very nice project that we have done together with Alstom. In this project, the track was going, of course, in the city center, because this is where we need urban mobility, and was passing literally a few meters away from a very nice and historic church, basilics, and very old buildings. So in this regards, there are several concerns. The first concern is, of course, the vibration generating noise inside the church. You don't want to hear the tramway when you are inside the church. The second concern was the cracks. In some cases, the vibration given by the rolling stock, being tramway or metro, in this case, it was more for tramway, the vibration can cause crack in building when it's too severe. There are the third problem, which is the historical ruins below the track. These cities from the Roman time, they have a nice building next to the track, but also the ground is full of those kind of beauties. So when you make civil works, you don't want to dig too deep into the track. So in Firenze, we have implemented two family of product to help to tackle those issues. The first one is the mass spring systems. You have to picture Firenze, a very old street with a lot of car to be removed to be replaced by a tramway, nice church and historical building on both sides. They have digged something like 50 centimeters, put all around some rubber, and then really build a track on this mats, of this floating mats, to have the vibration kept inside the system. This system has been designed to do above 20 decibels reduction. 20 decibels is decibels vibration, but it's very similar to the decibels that you can hear. And has been installed 2 years ago and measured by some local contractors and gave very good results, so that the city was happy that we protected the vibration to reach the building, the church and everything. So we avoid to have noise inside and cracks on the building.
So that system was actually used in particular to protect the fragile buildings?
Yes, it was used to project fragile building, because this dynamic forces given by the vibration can cause crack on this very old, 2000 years old buildings, yes. The second steps they wanted to take was to avoid to dig too deep. And in this case, it's not related to noise and vibration, it's more related to construction. When you build a tramway, you need sometimes to go very deep to create the structure of your slab. Using the embedded trail system for Pendrell Q-Track, together with our mats, we were able to reduce as much as possible the depths of the civil works to avoid to touch the historical ruins that are below the track. The mats that I've described, they have a very nice feature, which is you need mass to make a mass spring systems. But you can also use less mass and using a softer mats to create the same effect. If you want, it's either I have a lot of mass, I can have a stiff system, or I don't have a lot of mass, I can just use a soft system. We have chosen the second one, so allowing Alstom in the city to decrease the depths of the work while keeping a very high attenuation of the vibration. I've mentioned 20 dB and plus. The second system we have used to reduce and to optimize this construction depth was a Q-Track. Q-Track is an embedded rail system when you feed the rail with rubber around the rail, and that is fixing the rail and keeping the rail in a good condition. Doing so, the total depths of the civil works were limited to around 50, 60 centimeters, avoiding to touch the building or the ruins that were below the track. Using Q-Track had another advantage. Q-Track is a system that reduce the corrugation. So the corrugation, I spoke about that before briefly, is this wave that is built on the top of the rail when the tram are braking or accelerating or in the curves. So when there is a lot of friction and forces between the wheel and the rail, you have this corrugation. And Q-Track, because it's a continuously supported system, is going to decrease this phenomenon of wave of corrugation on top of the rail, and therefore is going to decrease the generation of vibration that leads to less crack and less noise inside the church. So using both state-of-the-art system, the Pendrell floating slab mats and the Pendrell Q-Track, the city has been able to install and to finish last year the tramway of Firenze Line 2 and 3, be able to go next to a very nice historical building, not generating any noise and vibration into those buildings, without touching and damaging the ruins that were below the track.
This project was finished 2 years ago. How's it getting on?
It's going on well. Actually, they're working on the extension. They have done many measurements during the work sites and after, and all seems to be okay, and everybody seems to be happy. We have got some nice posts from both Alstom and the city on LinkedIn, as example, with a good result of this project. So I think everybody is happy.
Yeah, that's great. Since rail transport is such an important part of a low carbon transport system, helping to reduce road traffic congestion in a world where now over 4 billion people live in cities, minimising the noise and vibration it causes in urban areas is essential. As we have heard, good design and maintenance is key to this. Effective noise and vibration solutions are being integrated within the new and existing rail networks within many towns and cities, enabling residents to live peacefully alongside. Thank you to all our listeners for spending time with us. We hope you'll join us for our next episode. You are, of course, welcome to share, subscribe, and join us next time. Thank you for joining me today, Thomas.
Thank you, Jamie. It was a pleasure.